It's time for overtime.
And I know just the guy to talk to.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Monday, June 22nd edition of Overtime. Massive move in the NBA, not surrounding Giannis Antetokounmpo or the NBA draft, but a coaching hire that is making waves. Dusty May of Michigan, by way of Florida Atlantic, is now the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. A lot to dive into today in the NBA, NHL, and otherwise. Also sprinkle in some NFL news in hour number two, as well as some Brendan Sorsby sweepstakes talk and grades before we're done on this Monday, June 22nd edition of the show. Let's hit right to the scorecard. Head right to the scorecard. In Major League Baseball yesterday, Minnesota Twins found their way to another victory, their sixth win in their last seven games. They did so with a little bit of late pop from Trevor Larnach.
And the 2-2 from Thompson, a swing and a line drive right center field deep in the gap, and this one will not be caught. It hits off the body of Tawa and finds the wall. Larnach will stop at second base. A big two-out ninth inning RBI double from Larnach, and the Twins add on and lead 4-2.
4-2 the lead then. 4-2 the final score. Minnesota winners of six of their last seven. Now 38-41. Manager Derek Shelton on a successful road trip.
No, I would say a really good road trip. I mean, proud of our entire group. We did a lot of things. I would say, if you're talking about a culmination of a road trip, this is a total team road trip with everybody that contributed.
So Minnesota wins at 4-2. They'll open up a series at home against the LA Dodgers tonight. Other notable finals from yesterday, Milwaukee beat Atlanta 9-4. White Sox lose in Detroit 5-4 in extras. Cleveland also on the wrong side of it against Houston 2-1. And Kansas City also a loser to St. Louis 12-10 in KC. The Cardinals are 41-34. Today and tonight, we mentioned Dodgers at the Twins, 6:40 start, 6 o'clock pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other matchups on the way, the Tigers host the Yankees at 5:10, Royals at Rays, Cubs at the Mets, Brewers at Reds, White Sox home to the Guardians, D-backs at Cardinals, Red Sox at Rockies. The rest of the way for a Monday slate for our area squads. WNBA Finals. Vegas beat Golden State 92-73 yesterday. Their new record is 12-4. And Washington comes to Minneapolis and hands the Lynx a loss 84-79, loss number 4 on the year for Minnesota. Tonight in the WNBA, only one game featuring some local-ish regional storylines. You got the Mercury, head coach Nate Tibbetts visiting the Indiana Fever tonight, 7 o'clock on USA. The NBA draft is tomorrow, but that is far from the biggest story in the NBA. The Wizards hold the top pick, followed by Utah, Memphis, Chicago, and LA in the top five. But everybody wants to talk about Dallas because of the hire that they made of Michigan head basketball coach Dusty May as of this morning. Here's ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
Dusty May has been high on NBA teams' lists as a guy that they could get for a year or so now, even before he was a national champion coach. The Golden State Warriors, had Steve Kerr decided to retire, I think he would have been high on the Golden State Warriors list. And Masai Ujiri and the Mavericks really wanted a college coach. They tried multiple times, from what I am told, to talk John Shire into coming to Dallas. They made multiple runs at him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yes. The Cooper flag connection there that played a role. They were not going to be able to convince John Shire to come, but Dusty May has been on their roster for a while. And if I'm not mistaken, he did agree to a contract extension in Michigan.
He did.
But I don't think he ever signed it. I think that contract has been sitting on his desk for several weeks, unsigned, I think because he had interest in moving on to the NBA.
And again, it's a cautionary tale. The marquee hires from college to pro, talking about Nick Saban in the college football world. Many other examples there, but also in college basketball, it has not been peaches and cream when you're making the jump up. But now the sports are as similar as they have ever been, college to pro basketball. Back in the day, it was, coach, I want to be here 4 years, 5 years if I can redshirt, make me into a great basketball player. Hopefully I'll hear the NBA call my name someday. Now players are getting paid. They got endorsement deals, NIL money, short-term nature of the game. If you're ready and you're 20 years old, if you're a teenager, go to the NBA. 21-22, make it to the NBA. It's a different game, and that similarity might help out Dusty May as far as his success at the next level, according to Jay Williams.
I think we're going to see more of this coming down the pipeline because of how college is becoming more like the pros overnight. Like watching the way John Shire and Dusty May have been able to raise capital, watching the way they've hired GMs, watching the way they've delegated responsibilities to those GMs to recruit the talent and the systems they have in place, it mimics more and more like a real NBA franchise. So I think you're seeing college coaches be able to adapt a lot more with being pulled up to the higher ranks.
So there you go. Biggest news of the day in the NBA so far is that Dusty May has been hired as the head coach in Dallas, a guy who's going to offer all sorts of tutelage to Cooper Flagg and many more young stars there for the Mavs. Now, the big news that we're waiting on in the NBA is Giannis Antetokounmpo's future home. Shams Charania indicates this could happen at any moment with a deadline coming up quickly tomorrow night.
Sources tell me a trade and a resolution is coming for the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo before the NBA draft on Tuesday night. The Bucks are in serious conversations with two finalists, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Both teams are Giannis's preferred trade destinations, but both of these packages are different deals. The variance of these deals is dramatic. With Boston, it's Jaylen Brown-led package. It's around a veteran player, obviously a superstar caliber player. In Miami, it's a group of cost-controlled players, rookie scale contracts, significant draft capital in that deal. And so I do want to make this clear, though, whichever deal occurs, whether it's today or tomorrow, it is going to be a one-to-one deal. It's going to consist of Milwaukee and likely one of these two teams, and that's how it's going to be. There's no third team, fourth team in any construct right now.
There you go. That's the latest, Miami and Boston. Let's talk about the Boston side here. Let's say that Milwaukee takes the deal and sends Giannis to South Beach, to the Miami Heat. What does Boston do then with Jaylen Brown? Could he still be on the trade block?
The Celtics have, I believe, decided they just weren't good enough. It wasn't that Jason Tatum got hurt and they lost that series with Philly. I think the Celtics have taken a hard look in the mirror and they have decided we weren't going to beat the Knicks. All these people are like saying that the Knicks are, you know, they want to say reasons why they didn't beat the Knicks. Not the Celtics. The Celtics are stone cold sober. Think they're not as good as the Knicks. They're not sure they're going to be as good as the Pacers next year when they come back fully healthy. And they believe they need to upgrade their team. And I am now speculating that if Jaylen Brown doesn't get traded for Giannis, they may trade him somewhere else.
There you go. That is Brian Windhorst reinforcing that point. Jay Williams saying the silence is deafening surrounding Jaylen Brown's future in Boston.
I feel like if you're a star in this league and if your name is involved in rumors, you want your front office to come out and say, by no means necessary are we trading Jaylen Brown. Nobody from the Boston Celtics has done that. So it looks like his name is actually involved, going back to what we said from the beginning. What is the best asset you can get in return if you're Milwaukee? A guy like Jaylen Brown, if you can get that in return for Giannis, that's a deal to be done. But the thing is, if you're Giannis, if you want to be out of this deal, if you want a decision to be made, if you do want to go to Boston, all you have to say is, hey, the only team I'm willing to sign my extension with is Miami or is Boston. That can force the hand.
And that's ESPN's Jay Williams. That's all for the NBA for now. Over to the NHL. Their draft is coming up June 26th and 27th. Toronto holds the top pick, followed by San Jose, Vancouver, Chicago, and the New York Rangers. Over the weekend, Corey Heim into victory lane, first career win, and the first ever race at San Diego for the NASCAR circuit. Corey Heim, your victor there. Next up, the race going to be at Sonoma Sunday, 2:30 on TNT and HBO. And over to the National Football League, where Jordan Rodgers, former collegiate quarterback at Vanderbilt, talking about the pro chops of Brendan Sorsby. Where does he slide in with Mendoza and Ty Simpson and others that just got drafted in April?
I believe he has a higher ceiling than Mendoza or Simpson. Now, I still would have had him at QB3 if he was in this past draft. Both those guys, I think, are pro-ready. Sorsby, a little bit more of a project, but the tape, when you turn it on, he has an elite ability to throw with touch and accuracy. Deep ball thrower, it's so pretty. Not only do I think he's the best touch and accuracy thrower that I've maybe evaluated in the last 5 years or so, but he can throw with velocity. He's 6'3", 235, runs a 4.6. 640. He has an extremely high ceiling. If you took Carson Beck or you took Drew Aller or Cade Klubnik in the third, fourth, fifth round, whatever it was, this guy's better. So why not double down, grab him for a second or a third? The value's there because he would have been a first round pick or an early second. And I think you have a guy that can be a franchise quarterback.
Jordan Rodgers speaking about Brendan Sorsby, a guy that could be a franchise quarterback. That value is figured to be pretty darn wide. I would say second round pick feels like the ceiling for most teams. I said last week early on, fourth rounder feels right. Some people saying late day three. Going to be a wide swath of projections and picks made and bids made in the National Football League if that supplemental draft takes place in July. No real reason to indicate it won't, but still yet to be confirmed on the future of Brendan Sorsby. Golf over the weekend, U.S. Open, Wyndham Clark held on to a 4-under victory at the U.S. Open. Shinnecock Hills, his second career U.S. Open win, and picking up a win over Sam Burns. Closest challenger was 3-under. Scottie Scheffler tied for fourth at even. And next up on the PGA Tour, Travelers Championship action begins Thursday, runs through Sunday. College World Series yesterday, UNC did just enough. They were down early. They were not out. 6-2 victory over Oklahoma. That series now tied 1-1, which means tonight we got a winner take all game three, Oklahoma, North Carolina, 6 o'clock on ESPN. UNC, not a heavy favorite, but favored -150. On the money line, and lastly, World Cup action. We zoom all the way back to Friday. Team USA, a 2-0 win over Australia. The way the rest of the group shook out on Friday, Team USA has already won the group stage, which means they have the highest seed possible already locked up into the knockout round. You don't got to worry about second place or third place or where you slot in for the next round. Team USA is having their best World Cup ever. No doubt about it. Great start for Team USA. They play Thursday against Turkey. What is the newly adjusted ceiling for Team USA this time around? Here is ESPN Soccer's Sam Borden.
That's like a reasonable expectation. I think getting to the quarterfinals is almost like, to me, that would be the baseline for a successful World Cup. And then going around beyond that would be historic. I think it's going to take a lot more of the kind of game that we saw against Paraguay. And it's going to take some luck, and they may be getting that luck. You know, by winning the group, they could have a game against Bosnia in the round of 32, which would be certainly a winnable game. Belgium might be the best team on their side of the bracket, which, again, Belgium's a very good team and has eliminated them in previous World Cups. But, like, not Brazil, it's not Argentina, it's not France. It's a winnable game for sure. And so at that point, you're looking at a quarterfinal. You know, you're looking at the possibility of maybe making that extra step. And so I think that they're going to need to get Pulisic back. In my mind, that's a no-brainer. They need to get him back and healthy. They need to be able to continue playing like they did against Paraguay. And they need a little bit of luck, just like every team that has ever gone far the World Cup does. They need a little bit of the ball breaking their way.
That's Sam Borden, U.S. Soccer analyst for ESPN. 2-0 victory for Team USA Friday. Yesterday at the World Cup, we saw Spain beat up Saudi Arabia 4-0. Belgium drew with Iran 0-0. You saw Uruguay draw with Cape Verde. That's been one of the great stories of the World Cup so far. 2-2, the draw between Cape Verde and Uruguay. And then Egypt had their first ever World Cup win yesterday over New Zealand 3-1. Today, just underway, Argentina and Austria, that's on Fox right now, got started at noon. France taking on Iraq, it's 4 o'clock on Fox. Norway and Senegal, 7 o'clock on Fox. And then Jordan meeting up with Algeria. The nightcap tonight gets going at 10 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. It's hour number two. A year ago, Wyndham Clark had one of his lowest moments. Had to apologize for smashing Oakmont Country Club's lockers after he missed the cut at the U.S. Open. He didn't have to leave any dents at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island this week, but he certainly left his mark as he hung on to a 6-stroke lead for a 1-stroke victory at 4-under par. Clark won again, despite many of the fans in New York rooting for anyone but him to come out on top. At least one fan was ejected from the course for heckling Clark yesterday, and others cheered when his tee shot went into the bunker on the 7th hole. Man, they definitely didn't want me to win, Clark said. It's pretty rare in an open championship or a major to have fans kind of boo against your shots or cheer for bad shots. I mean, that was rough, but sometimes being an underdog is nice. Clark, of course, played in the final round, notably with fan favorite Scottie Scheffler, who was trying to complete the career Grand Slam. Fans serenaded the world number one golfer with happy birthday on Scheffler's 30th birthday yesterday. Clark said, I get it. They were rooting for Scotty. Grand Slams only happen a few times. He's going to get it. He's the best player in the world. But today, it's my day. Great commentary. And that was not a beat my chest, crazy troll from Wyndham Clark. You could certainly take it that way. It was very candid and very honest commentary. And also, you know what? He addressed last year's drama, last year's incident, and said, you know, I'm still sorry for that. Hopefully we can move past it. Hopefully I can give these fans something to root for moving forward, get a couple on my side. 32-year-old captured his first U.S. Open title at the Los Angeles Country Club back in 2023 and has now won twice in only six starts in the National Open. Only John McDermott, Walter Hagen, and Ernie Els accomplished the feat in fewer starts, so a very nice start to the career for Wyndham Clark, especially and particularly at winning U.S. Opens. Other news to get to, the biggest news of the day as of this morning, ripple effects, college basketball all the way up to the NBA. Michigan head coach, recent national championship winning head coach, Dusty May finalizing a deal to take over as the Dallas Mavericks head coach. The 49-year-old led Michigan basketball to the national title this past spring. He'll coach a franchise with Cooper Flagg as a linchpin. The Mavericks fired Jason Kidd after a 26-56 season a year ago. May led Michigan to a 64-13 record over the last 2 years. He had ruled out other college jobs this offseason, but the NBA has always been intriguing to the young coach. He's the first college head coach to take an NBA job since former Michigan coach John Beilein took over the Cavaliers job back in 2019. The move puts May in charge of the Mavericks' next generation, which is being crafted around Cooper Flagg, the NBA's Rookie of the Year, led Dallas in scoring with 21 points per game. The move also puts Michigan in a sudden state of flux after the Wolverines' dominant run to the NCAA title. Michigan appeared well-positioned to repeat as ESPN's Jeff Borzello ranked Michigan number 3 in his early top 25 rankings. And now where does Michigan slot in? Of course, the question's going to be, who do they lose? What caliber of players do they lose? Does anybody come with a new head coach to Michigan? A lot of questions that need answers in Ann Arbor following the departure of Dusty May as of this morning. He is the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. More on that as we make our way through this Monday edition of Overtime. But when we come back, time to dive right into your NFL news of the day. Things you may have missed over the weekend and so much more. Yes, we'll continue the Sorsby sweepstakes, ranking them up. Most likely teams to come calling. What teams absolutely should put a bid in? And should the Minnesota Vikings be in the conversation? I say, yes, they should. Should they be the top bidder? Should they give up a second rounder? No. But should Minnesota entertain the idea of a mid-round pick to get a Brendan Sorsby where their current quarterback situation is at best pretty darn murky? I say yes. What say you? Your call is always welcome. 605-362-3776. We dive into the Sorsby sweepstakes and the NFL news of the day when we continue with the Monday edition of Overtime right after this on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Continuing with hour number two on a Monday, June 22nd edition of Overtime. Well, if you're hungry, why wait? Order ahead with the Quick Rewards app today. You can take care of your payment ahead of time. And let me tell you, this weekend, my family and I, we were ordering some pizza from Quickstar. Gotta love the Quick Rewards app. Download it, pay ahead of time. As soon as you put the order in, they tell you, hey, your pizza will be ready in 12 minutes, in 10 minutes. They'll put it up on the app for you. And then as soon as you get there, you just hop on in. You could also have it delivered curbside or hop on in. They got the rack inside the door. Easy peasy every time with Quickstar. Also over the summer, now through August 16th, play free every day. The Mountain Dew Quick Climb inside the Quick Rewards app. Score cash this summer. Daily cash prizes climbing to a $250,000 payday at the top. You can buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn more bonus plays. Your summer, your climb, your win only at Quickstar. Full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. Well, the Sorsby sweepstakes are up for debate. We'll dive into Brendan Sorsby, landing spots, teams that could make sense and more right around the corner. But first, this news from Tennessee that broke over the weekend. The Titans have agreed to a 3-year contract extension with one of their best players, defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons. Agents told ESPN's Adam Schefter and NFL Network's Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo over the weekend the deal is worth $106 million with $100 million guaranteed. Simmons posted a career-high 11 sacks last year, breaking Jarrell Casey's franchise record for most sacks in a season by a defensive tackle. Along with 11 sacks, Simmons led all NFL interior defensive linemen in solo tackles, TFLs, sacks, sack yardage, quarterback pressures, and pressure rate, as well as forced fumbles. That's a lot of stats to lead in. Tremendous player, was named first-team All-Pro and selected to the Pro Bowl for the fourth time in his now seven-year career. Big time news there, and Jeffrey Simmons locked up for the long term there in Nashville. Now, other news to get to. This story, certainly not a family-friendly one. We'll get you the peripheral details. You want more details, ESPN.com. Witnesses told police in 2021 that NFL veteran Mike Pennell Jr., former Packer, former Bear, former Kansas City Chiefs, had an ongoing relationship with a young woman whose body was found on a property he owned when she went missing. ESPN investigation found, contradicting Pennell's claim, that he did not know her. Pennell did not respond to a message seeking comment before the story was published. After it was published Thursday afternoon of last week, Pennell called a reporter to insist he had no relationship with the missing woman, Carly Francesa Guzman Roche, whose body was discovered in January of 2026. He directed ESPN to an attorney in the Dominican Republic. You can find more details, again, not family-friendly, ESPN.com. That story, Mike Pennell Jr., allegedly wrapped up in something there, ESPN.com. Well, everybody loves an underdog. Everybody loves a dark horse contributor to their favorite NFL team, and ESPN.com's got a great article up right now emphasizing names you probably should be familiar with on your own team. For you Bear fans out there, there's a lot of different players that are departing that defense, and there's some players getting infused into the offense, and they said so long via trade to DJ Moore. They drafted a very undersized but dynamic athlete at wide receiver by the name of Xavion Thomas. He's the featured guy in this article that highlights names to know out of minicamp for all 32 teams. For the Bears, it's Xavion Thomas, the lightning-fast receiver, ran a 4.28 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. And according to Coach Ben Johnson, he said he tends to make a play almost every single day right now. That says, okay, if we can harness all this energy and make sure we can trust him, he's going to align where he needs to be and run the route the way we need him to, we could really use him. Could be a big weapon for us this year. Lions star to know is second-year wide receiver Isaac Tesla. He had a lot of big catches last year. Also hauled in a bunch of touchdowns. He is in line for some growth. 6 touchdowns off of just 16 catches last year for Isaac Tesla. Elsewhere for the Packers, how about a tight end not named Tucker Kraft? Tucker Kraft is a bona fide star. He'll be back in due time. But a backup tight end, Josh Wiley, still a young player. Another year in Green Bay. It's year number 2 for Josh Wiley, mid-season signing for the Packers. And Wiley, certainly a lot of room to grow. And for the Minnesota Vikings, the name to know is a wide receiver that, frankly, hardly anybody's heard of. Dylan Bell. Can be difficult to gauge receiver skill sets in spring practices when NFL rules prohibit physical coverage, but it was an eye-opening to see Bell, Dylan Bell, undrafted rookie from Georgia, working extensively with the second team during drills. There are plenty of wide receivers in Minneapolis. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Juwan Jennings, but maybe a name to know for the future is youngster Dylan Bell, undrafted free agent, highlighted in that article at ESPN.com. Other news to get to out of the NFL, Mac Jones. That name was mentioned in trade circles often this offseason, and the door might not yet be closed. Mac Jones played well enough in the 8 games he started for the Niners last year that he would have a chance to start for another team if he had been a free agent this year. But Jones signed a 2-year deal last offseason. Pro Football Talk noting 49ers general manager John Lynch indicated at the start of the offseason that Mac Jones would not be traded unless the Niners got a strong offer. And when the draft came and went without a trade, it was widely assumed that Jones wasn't going anywhere. Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle reports that the Niners likely would trade Jones if they see enough development from the 2025 seventh round rookie draft pick, Curtis Rourke, which would be their new QB2 if they are to trade Mac Jones in the near term. A reminder that 2027 draft class is very enviable. Draft picks a little bit more premium than usual of any kind in that draft, and the Niners might see some value into cutting bait with Mac Jones 1 year earlier than him departing via free agency next summer. Other news, last week, quarterback Brendan Sorsby applied for the NFL supplemental draft. Since then, the league has said nothing about whether Sorsby will be in the supplemental draft or whether a supplemental draft will even take place at all. Pro Football Talk noting, although that has caused some to wonder whether the NFL may be cooking up a way to keep Sorsby out of the supplemental draft, the more realistic explanation is that nothing has been said because the deadline for applications has not yet come and gone. Today is that deadline. According to Pro Football Talk, it would make sense for the league to wait until any and all applications are submitted and then determine whether the applicants fit within the CBA definition of eligibility for the supplemental draft. That deadline is today. So maybe tomorrow we'll get conclusion. Brendan Sorsby's in. There's a couple other names possible. Here's the date. Here's the time. Here's the process. We'll wait and see. But there is certainly a lot to talk about, a lot to wonder about, and certainly for some teams, a lot to hope for Brendan Sorsby. Would you want your team to spend some 2027 draft capital on Brendan Sorsby? The way it works effectively, you get slotted into different slots based on how bad you are. If you won six or fewer games, you got the top chance of winning a bid for Brendan Sorsby if all bids are created equal. If everybody bids a third-round pick, the worst team, just like in the NFL draft, would be awarded the player. Now, you can't bid multiple picks. It's a singular pick. So if you really wanted Sorsby, bid a first-round pick. The issue is that you're effectively giving up. You are, matter of fact, giving up your 2027 pick in conjunction. So if you bid a second round pick, you don't have to do anything other than forfeit your second round pick in the 2027 NFL draft. That's how this works. If you are the winning bid, there is nothing that is of risk. If you don't win and you bid a three, you keep your three. There's nothing that you lose if you don't win the supplemental draft bidding process. So I've kind of separated it here to Sorsby sweepstakes, the teams that should be in the mix for immediate needs. I'm talking teams that could start Sorsby this year, play him in the preseason, play him in the regular season, teams that are down bad, that are just bad football teams, or maybe just have very unclear quarterback situations. Now, that also could extend to teams that could have a year two need. That's still pretty immediate. A rookie redshirt year, if you will, of Brendan Sorsby. Get him in the NFL. Work him through an offseason. Teach him how to learn and study and grow. Refine some mechanics. Work on some accuracy. That is all immediate. These are teams that absolutely should come calling. I got a lot of teams in that category. Few teams in the down the road category. Established veteran might not be in love with the established veteran, especially a year or two from now. Those teams are tier two. And then the maybe tier featuring my Packers are the teams that have a QB1, a relatively young QB1 that many regard to be pretty good, investable, but might be in line for some backup plan or to grow a backup quarterback as trade bait in the near-term future. And then the would-be surprised category. Let me tell you right now, this is the majority of teams here. The would-be surprised teams, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, Jags, Titans, Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, the Bears, the Saints, the Rams, and the Seattle Seahawks. Those are my would-be surprise teams. Again, the Rams have an aging veteran quarterback who has flirted with retirement before, not getting any younger, but they just spent premium draft capital on Ty Simpson. I don't think the Rams will come calling for Brendan Sorsby. Would be very surprised with those teams mentioned. Now, the immediate need teams, the teams that would be the favorites in the clubhouse, if you're asking me, would be Pittsburgh, the New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns, the Atlanta Falcons have two quarterbacks, Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa. Neither of those guys scream long-term plan in Atlanta right now. Now, if Penix is healthy, he certainly could grow into that. Tua could reinvent himself and stay healthy in Atlanta and be a long-term guy, but the Falcons probably would be wise to explore acquiring Brendan Sorsby. The Arizona Cardinals are on the list, although they just dropped a relative premium pick on Carson Beck. Arizona's in the mix. The Colts should be in the mix. Daniel Jones is paid, but it's a two-year deal. Short term. They don't trust that. And frankly, they shouldn't trust it right now based on injury history and inconsistent play. So the Colts should be in the mix. The Miami Dolphins should be in the mix. They just got a two-year deal with Malik Willis. And then the Minnesota Vikings are also in this immediate year one, year two need. Does that mean I'm forecasting Kyler Murray to get the job and stink? No. Does that mean I'm forecasting J.J. McCarthy to win the job and get run out of town? No. But should Minnesota kick the tires and be interested in another option at quarterback, a dynamic playmaking option at quarterback? Yeah, I think they should. Do I think they win the bidding process? No. I don't think Minnesota has as great of need as Pittsburgh, the Jets, the Browns, and a few other teams here. But I do believe the Vikings could be in the conversation and having conversations about offering up a 4 or a 3 maybe for Minnesota. I don't think like Vikings are likely to get Brendan Sorsby. We'll wait and see. Now, the down-the-road teams, Detroit with Jared Goff, he's getting older. Houston with C.J. Stroud. Last season, Stroud was the problem. Stroud was a reason why the Texans didn't go deeper in the postseason. Now, does that mean he's an awful quarterback? No, but I do think there's an opportunity there for Sorsby to come in and push Stroud, grow greater than C.J. Stroud. That's an opportunity in Houston that's intriguing. Carolina Panthers in a similar boat with Bryce Young. They like him quite a bit. Do they love him? I would say absolutely not. They don't love Bryce Young. But again, he's in a situation of flux right now. Could grow into the franchise guy. But from what we've seen so far, might be wise for the Panthers to start planning ahead there. And lastly, Tampa, shaky ground with Baker Mayfield. Aging guy makes sense to plan ahead there as well. Brendan Sorsby could fit in Tampa. And then the maybe category, these teams that should be in the conversation, but they don't have a dire need, but it could make sense. I've got Philly, Green Bay, Washington, the New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys, the Niners, and the Bills. And before you yell at me, the two New York teams there, the Giants and the Bills, do not have screaming needs. Jackson Dart seems like an exciting young playmaker. Josh Allen, best player on the planet right now at the quarterback position, in my opinion. Those guys are firm, solid, solidified starters here. Josh Allen much more so than Jackson Dart, but worth noting here, as Cole Thompson said on the show last week, and we talked ad nauseum about Brendan Sorsby, it would behoove teams with quarterbacks right now that have similar skill sets to Sorsby to explore this and say, you know what, this guy could be a great scout teamer. This guy could be a great fit for us to develop behind. This offense fits this guy like a glove. Why wouldn't we come calling? That's the reason I throw in the Giants and the Bills in that regard, is Brendan Sorsby does have a similar skill set, that big body bruiser, can take some hits, mobile, big arm. Brendan Sorsby, to me, fits with those teams. So the teams that should be positively dipping an ankle into the Sorsby pond, Pittsburgh, the Jets, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Colts, the Dolphins, and those Minnesota Vikings, the teams that, yeah, consider it down the road, Detroit, Houston, Carolina, and Tampa, and the maybe squads, maybe just maybe, Philly, Green Bay, Washington, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Niners, and the Buffalo Bills. That is the latest and greatest from the NFL. The Sorsby sweepstakes about to be underway. Keep you updated on that moving forward. When we come back, we wrap up the show. NBA, NHL, big news out of the hockey world as of yesterday. The Tkachuk brothers playing together in Florida. We dive into that news item and so much more when we come back and conclude the Monday edition of Overtime right after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up this Monday, June 22nd edition of Overtime. Before we get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, get you the latest and greatest news from the NBA and NHL really darn quick. We start in the association where the Atlanta Hawks are finalizing a deal to acquire guard Aaron Wiggins from OKC for 2 second-round draft picks. Sources told ESPN Shams Charania just last night. The Thunder will receive Atlanta's second-round pick in 2030 and the least favorable of the Hawks or Lakers' second-round pick in 2032. OKC, by way of departure for Aaron Wiggins, reduced their projected tax penalty of $213 million to $152 million with the trade, according to ESPN's Bobby Marks. The trade also frees a roster spot for the Thunder, who now have 14 players under contract, including Lou Dort, Isaiah Hartenstein, and Kenrick Williams. Those three will have a team option for the next season. So Aaron Wiggins to the Oklahoma City Thunder, a finalized deal as of yesterday. Memphis Grizzlies guard KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, is exercising his player option for the upcoming season. ESPN Shams Charania confirmed the news over the weekend. Two-time champion with the Lakers and Nuggets, KCP underwent surgery to address a misalignment on his right pinky finger in February. Missed the last 31 games of this year, but he will be back with the Memphis Grizzlies, at least for now. Another veteran inking a deal, C.J. McCollum, agreed to a one-year, $21 million contract extension with the Atlanta Hawks. According to Shams Charania, the deal includes a trade kicker. According to the agency Excel Sports Management, McCollum had been eligible for an extension until June the 30th, at which point he would have been a free agent. But C.J. McCollum staying put in Atlanta with the Hawks, a one-year, $21 million contract extension. So those deals done. That trade for Wiggins, done. The Giannis sweepstakes still not done. Still wide open. Giannis expected to be traded before the start of the NBA draft, which is tomorrow night. The two finalists remain the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Now, Milwaukee has engaged in serious trade talks with both teams so far, according to Shams Charania, and are weighing significantly different offers for Giannis. Boston's offer centers around five-time All-Star Jaylen Brown and a proposed swap of two of the NBA's top players. The Heat's deal is the smash-the-reset-button kind of offer. They've offered cost-controlled players, significant draft capital to the Bucks, and Miami has the 13th overall pick in this year's draft. So what do you want to do if you're Milwaukee? New head coach in town, very few players, cornerstone pieces on that roster. Miles Turner, one. Outside of that, name me a couple more. They're investable, really darn good young players in Milwaukee. So you get Jaylen Brown in there, pair him with Miles Turner. Maybe you can add some other ancillary pieces. You can be back to contending for a playoff spot in what feels like short order in Milwaukee. But is it the right move to make? What do you want if you're Milwaukee? Do you want a complete teardown, reset, retool of the roster? Take the Heat offer. Do you want to stay competitive, retool a bit, get a little bit cheaper maybe? Take the Boston offer. We'll see if any other suitors become in the news, but that's the latest there on Giannis. Down to two teams for now, Boston, Jaylen Brown in that trade, or Miami with cheaper contracts, cheaper younger players, and premium draft capital potentially included in that deal. Other news, NHL news, forward Bobby McMahon will remain with the Seattle Kraken after agreeing to terms on a six-year deal Sunday. And the Kraken were not done. They acquired young forward Mackie Samuskevich from the Panthers for the number 25 pick in the NHL draft, which round one is coming up on Friday. Samuskevich is a 23-year-old, 64 points in 160 regular season and playoff games. He is heading to Seattle from Florida. The reason why Florida might be sending assets elsewhere is because they're bringing a big one in. The Ottawa Senators on Sunday traded their captain. Long-term trade target Brady Tkachuk is on the move, and he's on the move to join his brother Matthew with the Florida Panthers, who already, of course, have his brother on the roster. The trade, which both clubs announced, includes Ottawa landing both of the Panthers' first-round picks in Friday's draft, number 9 and number 25, as well as a 2029 first-round pick, which is top 10 protected, and a 2027 second-round pick. So this is a big get for Ottawa. They're doing the teardown reset. You know, I think everybody, including Brady Tkachuk, he was candid in saying, I'm tired of the trade conversations. I'm tired of being on shaky ground. And now he's found new footing with his brother, and that's pretty darn sweet. If you remember the Four Nations face-off, dropping the gloves, American heroes, these two were, the Tkachuk brothers. Now they're playing together with the Florida Panthers, and that team immediately back in title contention, back in title favoritism in the NHL. We'll keep a look at those odds, update you, as they're certainly going to be changing in the days and weeks ahead with that NHL news. Time to wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly, including a children's book that is dividing the state of South Dakota.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example. Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, good news first. I hope everybody that's a dad had a great Father's Day yesterday. I hope you called your dads to thank them and had an awesome weekend. Joe Russell, in the good news, did not know what was going on yesterday as he stood outside the ropes on the 18th hole at Shinnecock Hills watching his 17-year-old son Miles play the last hole of his first ever U.S. Open. Caddy Ramon Bascansa was suddenly handing him his caddy bib and pulling him inside the ropes. Before he knew it, Joe, the father of Miles, was caddying for his son in the U.S. Open on Father's Day. It was a surprise, Miles Russell said. Former pro golfer Steve Wheatcroft recommended it to me at the start of the week when I qualified, and I was like, oh, well, I got to make the cut for it to happen, right? Russell, who is the top-ranked junior in the world, shot 72-71 during the first two rounds of the tournament and made the cut by two strokes. It was a great week. I mean, just to be here is an honor. Pretty special to be here. Play golf on Thursday, Friday, making the weekend pretty cool. And now able to have his father on the bag for the final walk, final hole yesterday. Pretty sweet stuff on a Father's Day. Other good news, Corey Heim slammed into the wall twice while destroying his tires during the first few runs Sunday in the inaugural NASCAR race at Naval Base Coronado in San Diego. It was no problem for Heim, whose number 67 Toyota inexplicably kept getting faster on the way to his first career Cup Series victory in only his 13th start. The 23-year-old from Marietta, Georgia, took a deep breath before the second half of the race and reminded himself he had as much experience as the veterans on the 16-turn, 3.5-mile street course on Coronado Island, just south of downtown San Diego. Heim, 2024 Truck Series champion, just 23 years old, got his first win yesterday on the NASCAR circuit. Well, ridiculous, ludicrous performance from the Phillies last night. Bryce Harper was looking to change things up, so he got to the ballpark for some early batting practice. The result was his first career cycle in the major leagues on a night when his Phillies teammate Kyle Schwarber hit three home runs, two in the same inning, in a 15-3 win over the New York Mets. Harper had been struggling with one hit in his past seven games. He changed bats to a 35-ounce model he's had for a while but never used in a game. Harper saying, I was trying to hit homers, just trying to have some fun. Harper had the 11th cycle in Phillies history and the first since Weston Wilson back in 2024. And Kyle Schwarber also two homers in the same inning yesterday. Crazy stuff. Just the 67th player in Major League history to hit two homers in an inning. The second player to accomplish the feat this season, joining Houston Astros youngster Yordan Alvarez back on June the 12th. Other news, bad news to get to. The Tigers veteran right-hander Justin Verlander has a left hamstring strain, likely out a few weeks. According to manager AJ Hinch, Verlander has been out with hip inflammation since the month of April and has been scheduled to come off the injured list and start on Sunday. Now, two bits of ugly news before we're done, including a kid's book. Wait for that one. Former Wimbledon champion Markéta Vondrousova has been suspended for 4 years. That's right, 4 years today for refusing an anti-doping test, even though the Czech player cited mental stress and fear when the testing agent, quote, rang my door late at night without properly identifying themselves. The International Tennis Integrity Agency made the announcement saying that Vondrousova refused the test in December and that the decision was reached by an independent tribunal. Vondrousova won Wimbledon recently back in 2023, reached a career-high ranking of number 6 that year, and now suspended for 4 years. I'm sure that could be appealed or cleaned up a bit, but that is a very ugly storyline from the sport of women's tennis. And then the ugliest news out there to celebrate and share the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Monday is centered around a kid's book. You know what? I've got one of these that is Goodnight, Wisconsin. But Matt Kearney noting there's a book called Night Night, South Dakota right now. And for you Jackrabbit fans, you're saying, darn right, absolutely, we deserve that. And for you Yote fans, you're saying, what about me? Matt Kearney noting that the Night Night South Dakota book has a page in it late that says, good night, all you jackrabbits. The crowds have gone away. Turn out the lights, close up the gates until it's time to play. Good night, all you jackrabbits. How does that sit with you? I got to tell you, I own Night Night or Good Night Wisconsin for my kids, and there is no Bucky Badger in that book. It is a Green Bay Packer themed issue late in the book, a dividing line. But in this state, is it a jackrabbit state? Is it a coyote state? We don't have a pro team. You could say Night Night Canary fans, Night Night Sky Force fans. That's fine and dandy, but you got some battle words there and probably some returned books to the library as well, with Night Night South Dakota referencing the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. For you Jack fans, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not. They're the more established program. They are the more national championship winning program. When it comes down to it, flagship university of State University, what's your opinion there? It's all in a kid's book. It's the Jackrabbits get to say night night to the kiddos in an ugly, good, the bad, and the ugly, as we say so long to the Monday, June 22nd edition of Overtime. We'll talk to you tomorrow when the next edition rolls back around right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.